Will you pray with me? Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There was once a little boy who had a fight with his older brother, and the little boy refused to speak to his brother all day long. When bedtime came, his mother went to him and said, "Don't you think you should forgive your brother before you go to sleep? After all, the Bible says, not to let the sun go down on our anger." After thinking for a moment, the boy replied, "But how can I keep the sun from going down?" There is no doubt that forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally. But self-help gurus, doctors, psychologists, and those with any practical wisdom would all agree that forgiveness leads to a better life, a happier, healthier life. In researching this sermon, I came across an article from Red Book Magazine entitled "The Healing Power of Forgiveness." The same title. The article states that forgiveness brings more than just psychological benefits. The author writes, "Just as scientists have shown that harboring negative emotions like blame, anger, and hostility, the ones we feel when we're nursing a grudge, can damage our cardiovascular, nervous, and immune systems, studies are uncovering evidence that practicing forgiveness, essentially releasing those toxic feelings, can improve physical health in significant ways too. Such body benefits include a stronger heart, a healthier immune system, fewer headaches, and relief from back pain. Forgiveness is good medicine." The article goes on to give advice about how to forgive. And while the advice has some merit, without Jesus, none of it has any power. For apart from the grace of Christ, how can we forgive? For me, trying to forgive someone without the grace of Jesus would be as impossible as trying to keep the sun from setting. Forgiveness is made possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bring reconciliation, as our scripture this morning tells us. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was a bridge, so that Jesus restores our vertical relationship with God and enables restoration of our horizontal relationships with one another. You see, sin separates us from God and from each other. Sin brings sickness, brokenness, and bondage. Jesus came to heal us and to set us free. The forgiveness found in Jesus Christ is the ultimate healing that we can experience. But even after we've put our trust in Jesus, sin still gets in the way, doesn't it? Sin still gets in the way of the life God has for us and can block God's healing work in our lives. We need to confess our sins and keep short accounts with God. Some of us here this morning may be aware of things in our life that are getting in the way of our relationship with God or blocking the work that God might do in and through us. Let's not wait any longer to deal with these things. Let's confess and walk in our identity as new creations. Today's passage tells us the good news. When we confess, God takes away our sin. Therefore, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. The confession and forgiveness of sin is very important in finding healing. But it isn't just our relationship with God that is affected by sin. And it isn't just our relationship with God that is restored by Christ's work of reconciliation. It's also our relationship with others. We who are forgiven are given the ministry of reconciliation. This is our calling. As verses 18 and 19 tell us, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation is one of the highest callings we have as Christians. And seeking and offering forgiveness is an important part of this work. Scripture has a lot to say about forgiveness. It's one of the things we're commanded to do. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Mark 11:25 says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." And we all know that difficult line in the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6:12. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." God tells us to forgive because our Father knows that our health, wholeness, and well-being depend on it, along with the well-being of the community. We can't do it in our own strength. It doesn't usually happen overnight. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. And it doesn't mean ignoring or glossing over the wrong. It honestly acknowledges the hurt. In fact, Lewis Smedes, author of Forgive and Forget, says, "The more specific we can be in either repenting or forgiving, the better. This way, things can be brought to God fully and completely to be dealt with. Specificity is a way for us to feel like things are really complete and a way that God can accomplish that." Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice that we make, and it involves several steps. First, we ask for God's grace. For we cannot do this without God's help. Second, we confess our own faults, not just the sin of unforgiveness, but also other sins that come to mind as well. This helps to remind us that we are also sinners, sinners in need of God's grace, just like the one who has wronged us. Third, we pray for those who have hurt us. And this begins to change our own heart. At first, these prayers are often offered only out of duty, but eventually our feelings will follow. The feeling of forgiveness follows the action of forgiveness. Fourth, we pray for and seek reconciliation. Recognizing that forgiving others does not mean that we have to allow inappropriate behavior to continue. It doesn't mean that we continue to put ourselves in harm's way, but in our own heart and as much as is possible with us, we seek to live at peace. We pray for and seek reconciliation. Sometimes the reconciliation can only be in our own heart. For example, when the other person is no longer living. Finally, we recognize that forgiveness is a journey. It's a process, and we'll likely have to keep returning to each of these steps often, particularly that first step of asking for God's help in forgiveness. Listen to the words of Karen O'Connor, a fellow disciple of Jesus, as she shares her own story about her journey to forgiveness. This is what Karen writes. Weeks, months, years passed. Still, I thought about her, dreamed about her. Was I never to be free of this woman who had gone after my husband and ultimately married him? I couldn't go on like this. The endless rage, resentment, guilt, and anger drained the life out of everything I did. I went into counseling. I attended self-help classes, seminars, workshops. I read books. I talked to anyone who would listen. I ran. I walked the beach. I drove for miles to nowhere. I screamed into my pillow at night. I meditated. I prayed. I blamed myself. I did everything I knew how to do, except surrender. Then one Saturday in 1982, I was drawn to a day-long seminar on the healing power of forgiveness sponsored by a church in my neighborhood. After some discussion and sharing, participants were asked to close their eyes and then locate someone in their lives they had not forgiven, for whatever reason, real or imagined. Next, the leader invited us to look at whether or not we'd be willing to forgive that person. My first thought was Kathy. My stomach churned. My hands were suddenly wet and my head throbbed. I felt I had to get out of that room, but something kept me in my seat. Then a voice within gently asked, "Are you ready to let go of this? To release her? To forgive yourself as well?" I turned hot, then cold. I began to shake. I was certain everyone around me could hear my heart beating. Yes, I was willing. I couldn't hold on to my anger any longer. It was killing me. In that moment, without doing anything else, an incredible shift in my perception took place. I simply let go. I can't describe it. I don't know what happened or what prompted me at that moment to do something I had resisted doggedly for months. All I know is that for the first time in 4 years, I completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. I released my grip on Kathy, on my ex-husband, on myself. I let go of my anger, just like that. If it had been up to me alone, I know I wouldn't have had the courage or the generosity to make the first move. But it was not up to me. There was no mistaking the power of the Holy Spirit within me. God is my source, my strength, my very supply. He alone can minister healing. And God did. God did minister healing. For Karen, in that moment, and as her story continued to unfold, God continued to meet her at every stage of the journey and to minister healing and wholeness. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey describes forgiveness as an unnatural act. He writes, "I never find forgiveness easy, and rarely do I find it completely satisfying. Nagging injustices remain, and the wounds still cause pain. I have to approach God again and again, yielding to him the residue of what I thought I had committed to him long ago. I do so because the Gospels make clear the connection. God forgives my debts as I forgive my debtors. The reverse is also true. Only by living in the stream of God's grace will I find the strength to respond with grace to others." Today, we are invited into that stream of grace. Today, we are invited to take a step of faith and trust that God is a better justice maker than we are, as we let go of our right to get even and we let God work out the issues of fairness. Friends, our bodies, our minds, our spirits, they're all interconnected. And these various factors are often tied together when we come asking God for healing. We want to examine our hearts and see if there's something that needs to be confessed in our lives, something that's blocking the work of God. Perhaps it is unforgiveness. In the Alpha Course, Nikki Gumbel tells the story of a woman named Sylvia who was part of his congregation in London. And for several years, Sylvia had experienced lumbar back pain, arthritis that interrupted her sleep and her movement. When Sylvia came forward for prayer, another woman named Marion was praying for her and received the word forgiveness. She shared that word with Sylvia, and after a struggle, Sylvia realized that there was someone she needed to forgive, and she forgave that person. And she was able to drive her car on a trip that weekend without any pain. She was almost totally healed. Later, Sylvia was praying with someone named Millie, and she felt she ought to write a letter to that person to tell them she had forgiven them. As she posted the letter, she was totally healed. I'm not saying that if you forgive your neighbor, you won't have any more back pain. But I do want to point out how important forgiveness is in finding wholeness for our bodies, for our minds, for our spirits. As humans in relationship with other broken people, all of us have hurt and have been hurt. And all of us will hurt and will be hurt. And all of us are in need of and need to offer forgiveness. It may be that today you're aware of how you've hurt somebody else and you need to seek their forgiveness and reconciliation. It may be that, like Karen, God is showing you who you need to forgive. Some of us have a collection of hurts, repeated wrongs that have accumulated and piled up over time and are burdening us and weighing us down. Some of us have one clear incident, an experience where someone hurt you so deeply that you feel like that wound can never be healed. Perhaps you can't even imagine who you would be without this hurt in your life. We need to bring those to God. You see, the hurt, the tender places in our lives and in our hearts, these are very, very helpful in leading us to the places that still need healing, the places that need to be addressed. So listen to those tender places and bring them to God and see what needs to be addressed today. Forgiveness has the power to break all kinds of bonds. And it's helpful when we know there's something we need to forgive or something about which we need to be forgiven, to speak these things out loud with someone we can trust. Also, we can come and pray to God that God would not only help us to forgive, but to also heal the hurt that remains. That even after we let go of the wound, those scars that remain, those hurts that remain, God can heal those as well. It may be that you find that the anger and resentment in your heart is actually towards God. This doesn't require forgiveness, as God does not sin against us, but it does require healing. And we can also bring these feelings to God and ask for help in dealing with them. We can be honest and name what is wrong. We don't have to try to hide or bury our emotions. We give to God our anger, our disappointment, and the bitterness that may have come. We surrender to God and we invite God in to those places of our deepest disappointment. Perhaps the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. Here again, it can be very helpful to confess out loud to another person and for them to speak back to us the words of forgiveness found in Scripture. Here again, we bring the situation to God, asking for the grace to forgive. Lord, give me the grace to forgive myself. When we realize the forgiveness God has for us in Jesus and we surrender to Him, He can help us experience this grace for ourselves. We don't have to keep confessing the same sins over and over again. We don't have to keep carrying around the burdens of our past. God deals with them fully and completely. Today we are invited to come just as we are and to enter honestly into a time of confession, knowing that we're forgiven by Jesus Christ. We'll come to Christ's table and we'll remember his body broken for us and his blood poured out for us, the table where we're met by his grace. Today, we're invited to enter into a time of healing prayer later in our service where we bring the tender, wounded places in our lives before God. And all of these, along the way, are an invitation to open our hearts to God who meets us here. Brothers, sisters, God has such a love for each one of you, and he longs to meet you here today. He longs to overwhelm you with the reality of the reconciliation found in Jesus Christ, so that you might live into your calling as one who lives out the ministry of reconciliation, an ambassador for Jesus. God would meet you here today to soften the places in your heart that have long been hardened, to lift the burdens you have long carried, to heal the wounds and the scars, and to take you further along the journey towards forgiveness and freedom. Lewis Meads wrote, "To forgive is to set the prisoner free, and then to discover that the prisoner is you." Jesus would set his people free today, that we in turn may set others free, that they too might find the healing that Jesus brings, that precious balm in Gilead. Amen.